We've got Pack, Shaq, and the cleaner is coming back. Buckle up because it's time for Elite of the Week, and it's going to be a good one. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've got big returns, families divided, and all the full gear fallout. But before we get into all of that, I want to give a quick little chat with you guys. I want to discuss what AEW Dynamite was really telling us today. It's a little shocking. It's a little counterintuitive. It flies in the face of everything AEW has told us since day one. Ladies and gentlemen, losses don't matter. I know what you're thinking. Jack, there's a ranking system. Jack, this is what AEW is built on. I know. Hear me out. Losses don't matter when you have talent that has somewhere to go after they take the loss. What do I mean? I mean, Jericho has lost back-to-back big matches against Orange Cassidy and MJF, yet he's as entertaining and viable as ever. MJF lost a big one to Moxley at the previous pay-per-view, yet he's in the most talked-about segments. Hangman and Omega lost the tag team titles, yet one is going on to fight for the world title, and the other is the most interesting character in wrestling right now. Eddie Kingston literally said, "I quit," just a few days ago, yet it was him in the ring, fracturing families and standing toe-to-toe with the returning Pack. Now, I'm not saying wins don't matter, but when everything is woven together properly, at the end of the day, losses simply don't. And I think that's a very, very good thing. Now, before I talk about the bunkhouse match and the Scorpio deathlock and Shaq getting his name dropped, I want to introduce to you the man that doesn't need to break the fourth wall to remain interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it. For Flobo, boy, Flobo, how you doing today, buddy?
What's this? Dynamite gets a new intro? This show gets a new intro? Man, I'm going to miss the Elite of the Week guy, but I'm so glad I'm here for another episode of Hang With My Homeboy Jack talking about that AEW.
Well, you know, I saw your new intro. I got insecure. I got a little embarrassed, and I felt like maybe it was time to increase the curb appeal of the show. So I got a new intro. Okay. It's still simpler, a little easier. Elite of the Week guy may come back. If you're in the chat, let me know if you want to see more of the Elite of the Week guy and have him come back. Elite of the Week. I did want to talk to you. Obviously, I'd love to hear your overall thoughts. We've got two big shows, Full Gear and Dynamite. I'd love to hear kind of your overall thoughts of what's happened in the past week, as well as this new intro for Dynamite.
I can't believe what I'm seeing, Jack Farmer. Full Gear was pretty strong. I enjoyed it. I really thought it hit all of its marks. But it's kind of impossible to walk out of this episode not just a little bit disappointed. I know, don't flame me in the chats, man. But I was reading the Twitter. I was told something was going to happen that was going to change wrestling as we know it. Shifting paradigms and all that. And, well, to be fair to that, when you say that, anything could be a letdown. But I was expecting explosions, probably a debut, some sort of new title, maybe a new match we hadn't seen before. Well, the Bunkhouse match kind of existed there before. But you know what I'm saying? Something big. But what we got was two solid hours of wrestling action, and I guess that's okay.
Yeah, it was interesting. I thought that all the individual pieces tonight were great. But I don't know. It felt a little disjointed. I felt like there wasn't as much follow-up to Full Gear as I would have liked. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think most of the people who performed tonight, maybe it was a rough night just a few nights ago. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to run people into the ground. I'm just saying it felt a little bit like there was all this stuff that happened at a big pay-per-view. I thought Full Gear was an amazing show, by the way.
It was.
But then there wasn't really a whole lot of follow-up to that. Which I thought was a little bit of a letdown. I thought Tony Khan going on Twitter saying that he was going to change the power dynamic in pro wrestling was a little bit of an overpromise, I think.
I got a rant here, man. I'm sorry. And I know.
Let's hear it.
I know the rant is your gimmick. Is this gimmick infringement? But I can't believe, mark the calendar. This is November 11th, 11/11/2020, which sounds like a weird cipher code. I actually agree with Jim Cornette. It's the second year of Dynamite. You're rolling into year two. There is no reason why Tony Khan should be in the role that he is. He either has to be on camera or he has to have someone deputize on camera. Because now I don't know when a heel says, I talked to Tony Khan, he gave me this match, whether they're actually doing it or not. Is he involved or not? A couple years ago, 10 years ago, there was an anonymous Raw GM. We all lamented how dumb that was. Unfortunately, we might know Tony Khan from Twitter, but until either he shows up or Proxy shows up, it's kind of the same thing.
I personally like having a GM on a show as long as they're not overdone. I've always said I think William Regal on NXT is done just perfectly, where he comes in just enough to show that there's an authority figure making decisions, calling the shots, but also isn't someone who makes the whole show about them. That's always the problem with the GM, is when the show becomes about the GM. One thing I want to mention or comment on or get your thoughts on before we move on is the new intro. One, want to know if you like it. Two, I want to know what your thoughts on them keeping the same song is. Obviously, in WWE and on NXT, they change their theme songs every year. Do you like the new theme song every year, or do you like them sticking with one solid one?
I think songs have changed like a 2 to 3 year kind of basis, like almost like cars. You know, there's that one year where they change the lights or they change the door handles, and then like year four is like a brand new redesign. I like the intro. It does look a bit more WWE. As silly as the holy, like the, what do you call it, the holy colors and things from last year, the actual puff of smoke, it was very unique. I wasn't sure they were going to reinterpret that. It could have worked in this, maybe with lasers this time. But now it looks more like a WWE-ish interpretation of an AEW intro. And so because of that, I have to get a little bit of a demerit.
Interesting. I agree with the song. I like when they keep a song for a few years. Or as you said, even just keep it kind of similar, because then it gives eras sort of their own vibe, where with changing the theme song every year, like it felt like back in the day with Raw, for instance, or Nitro in the day, like that was their theme. And that, if you hear it, you're like, oh, that's from that era. Where now, because they changed it every year, you're like, wait, when was this one on? Was this 2013? It doesn't feel like it connects quite as much.
It's true. My favorite Raw theme is Tonight's the Night, Some Guy Likes Throwing in Your Eye. And that Dynamite song, Light the Fuse, Feel the Boom, I still say that in the car, so I hope you're for a while.
I love Light the Fuse, Feel the Boom. Speaking of feeling the boom, speaking of lighting the fuse, I want to start with the world title. It's always the most important thing. And I'm going to start off by talking about a guy by the name of Kenny Omega. Again, there's a lot of weirdness on this show and a lot of stuff that I don't know if I fully understood. Maybe I'll understand later, but they go to Dasha Gonzalez. She's going to have an interview with Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega's not there, but then they immediately go to Alex Marvez, who is with Kenny Omega, which was a weird transition for me. It felt very like, why did you go to Dasha in the first place? Again, maybe it'll be explained later, but Kenny Omega's on his way out. He's got other things to do. He's too busy. But something he did is he called out specifically that people have been asking for the return of the Cleaner, which I think a lot of people have been talking about. Obviously, they have been. It's not I think. It just is. And so I think a lot of people are excited to hear about that. But something that I thought sounded really cool, something that I thought weighed heavily, that was a cool line, was he said he's ready to take back the responsibility of being the guy on the magazines, the responsibility of being the guy with the 7-star matches, the responsibility of being the champion. Flobo, this is a transition that we've seen coming for a while now. How are you liking Kenny Omega, and how did you like his promo and this upcoming match?
I'm so glad you asked this question as early as you did, because I can get all my negative thoughts out the way. I hate it. I know the first thing was because Kenny, before his limited tournament run, he was sitting down doing an interview saying, you know, I don't know, I miss my friend, I don't know, I'm going to win this tournament. So they're trying to say he's gone from that, he's tired of talking, he's doing, you see him, he's a man of action. Now, Kenny Omega is arguably one of the best, if not the best wrestler in the world. I think it was a ranked number one a couple of years ago, and they say that every time he comes out. So I'm not, what I'm about to say is not denigrating or besmirching his legacy or his talent. I'm not going to give him any names. When AEW was first founded, or even when Dynamite was first on the air, I understood having loner talent from all over the world. I understood doing things like the Elite and using bringing the Elite. I understood latching on, building the Japan base for your own legacy. But you've been stateside for a year. Dynamite has been on a year. You have to tell me why I should care about the cleaner in this universe. You have to assume someone became a fan of AEW in the last 12 months. I don't want to have to stop and put down this universe to pick up an unrelated universe. That's a storytelling problem, and it's going to affect Kenny Omega when it comes for, when he becomes champion or becomes number one contender for the mainstream fans and the newer fans. It might slap as hard as those who know Kenny Omega for his battles with Okada at all.
I have to agree with you on this. I when you started, I wanted to disagree with you, Flo, but I wanted to pick apart your argument. I wanted to say this is completely wrong, but you're right. I think I would be very interested to know what percent of AEW fans actually watched New Japan Pro Wrestling, and not picking out a match here or there, but actually watched it and really know this stuff. Something that kind of rubbed me the wrong way on Full Gear was when Orange Cassidy and John Silver were having their match, which was actually a really fun match, but they mentioned multiple times, if you had watched Being the Elite, you know why these guys are fighting. And I was thinking to myself, I don't want to watch Being the Elite. I spend 2 hours every Wednesday watching Dynamite. I spend, like, now it's like an hour, 20 minutes watching Dark. Now I'm watching a pay-per-view on Sunday. I don't want to be told I need to do homework and watch something else to understand why this is on. It becomes a little bit difficult. It's something that I think is a problem that I think Marvel, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which you and I discuss on the Everything Tournament right now,
every Tuesday,
is see that subtle just promotion? Something that I always thought was an issue that they are going to have to address, I think they are now, is it's cool when you connect all these things, but at some point it's too much and you start losing people because, like, look, man, I can't keep up. It's just too much stuff. Yeah. That was my sister, for instance. She loved all the movies, and then she's like, there's just too many of these movies. I can't keep up. I don't know what's going on. I give up. And I think that's the same thing with a lot of people with, like, the New Japan stuff. I think New Japan's great. I don't want to go back and do a deep dive of watching all this stuff and figuring out what the cleaner is and who that is. Because you're right. I don't think most fans watching in the States actually, they may have heard of him, but I don't know how many of them actually watched and actually know.
Right. It's always like when you hang out with the friends at a party and you say, hey, look, I didn't like this movie. And then they nudge you and go, hey, look, the book was much better. And you're like, it probably is. But this standalone property was not good. I don't know. I think there's still time. And I think they're building to that with the entrance and the Supergirls. I'm not writing it off. But I felt like Kenny Omega gave me the promo as if I was a fan of this completely different promotion that's not even affiliated with AEW.
Right. I agree. And so, but I think they're going to have a banger match.
True.
Speaking of, Mox had an interview. John Moxley, for those who don't know what Mox means. I don't want to go on a rant about saying you have to explain things and then just be like, oh, so old Ambrose. So John Moxley, he had a promo, and he's such a good promo every time. It just seems emotional. I like that he's talking about how the title represents all the people without jobs right now. That one hit me for some reason. Just like, wow, yeah, because there are a lot of people struggling out there, a lot of people having it hard. It felt very Dusty Rhodes to say. But I also liked the little line he had. He said, I'm just a man, and one day someone's going to shut out my lights, and it might be Kenny Omega, but good luck. And I thought, to me, that sold the match for me so much. Like, it's such an interesting thing to say, yeah, someday I'm going to lose this thing. And it makes you think, I got to watch every single John Moxley. This might be the one, you know what I mean? It's kind of like reminding me a lot of, like, the Undertaker during his undefeated streak at WrestleMania, where you're like, I have to watch every year, because if this is the one he loses, I want to see it live. And just that simple attitude he has. He had the same attitude with Lance Archer building up to that, of saying, look, you may beat me, but it's going to be tough. And now I want to see, like, is Omega going to be the guy to beat him?
It's true. That's what got me a ticket to WrestleMania 26, Streak for his career. You know what? I guess watching it, I go, wow, it's pretty good. But seeing or hearing your interpretation, I'm like, that is pretty much a Dusty Rhodes promo. Like, you know, I'm just being fueled by all of your energies, Daddy, you know? And maybe Kenny Omega could be the guy. We talked about this before via text. Do you think Kenny Omega would be the next champion? I do. But if even if it isn't, even if they go to a straight wrestling match, as Kenny Omega so graciously requested, it's going to be a banger.
Now, something that was interesting is they said it was going to be on December 2nd and not at Revolution. I think that's kind of better because I think that's going to be way too long to wait to Revolution. That'd be 3.5 months. Yeah. But does that change your prediction knowing that this match is going to be on a Dynamite? It's not going to be on a pay-per-view.
No, and I think a lot of it has to do with the way the Wednesday night shows are just booking it now. With I think AEW has 4 pay-per-views and NXT has 6 or 7. Like, you're gonna have to give us the pay-per-view quality episodes. And I think enough time in advance has been booked that if there were to be a title change, it would seem okay. It wouldn't be kind of random out of nowhere, you know?
Right. It's interesting. It's right before the holidays as well, so it might be that thing that they do to get some buzz going through the holidays when they're probably going to take some time off or pre-tape a lot of things. Because they're probably not going to be recording live much after that. So it might give them a little bit of stuff to do to keep some interest going through that holiday season time. Because that's a tough time for pro wrestling to keep the buzz going. Speaking of keeping the buzz going, I want to take a moment to thank everyone who's joining along with us and watching us here live, whether you're watching on YouTube, whether you're watching on Twitch, whether you're listening to this later on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher, wherever it is. It's all over the world. It's on the internet. It's a very big deal to get your stuff up on the internet, Flobo. As you know, very few people have anything on the internet. and we are fortunate enough, Spotify as well. So thank you guys so much. Obviously, I want to beg and plead for you guys to leave us 5-star reviews and share with your friends and like and comment and all that good stuff. I know you're probably saying, Jack, I listen every single week. I know, but it still helps. That's just the way it works. That's how you get the numbers. That's how you get the buzz. That's how you get the sponsors. And speaking of sponsors, Flobo, brought to you by Brosters, as always, www.thebrosters.com. Promo code bro code 1 there. Moving on. Let's move on. Speaking of losses don't matter, I brought it up at the top of the show. Eddie Kingston ends the night here. He walks out. He's on commentary. And this was just a splintered, fractured mess of an end of a show. And I mean that in a good way, in the sense that we're starting to see Kingston as being a little bit more putting a divide between Lucha Brothers. They got pretty heated in their rematch. Pac comes back. So much to unpack from this finale. Just overall, what did you think about this main event and the way they closed out the show?
The first thing that comes to mind and the last thing that comes to mind is Eddie Kingston kicking out Ray Fenix at the end of the match. My friend, dude. I was saying, that was so funny.
Dude.
What?
Yeah. No, I'm just agreeing with you, dude.
It was hilarious. I like this because everyone remembers the Death Triangle. Pac is back, and he's still as mean as he was before. And it's a bit of a dust-up. Eddie Kingston is the Mad King, right? But his kingdom is wavering a bit. He has to live with saying, I quit. Basically got choked out in barbed wire by a guy who prays before every match. It's kind of ironic. But but the whole thing is now is like, what does Pac fit in? What is Eddie Kingston? This, how big is his empire? Especially now he has a member of the Butcher and the Blade team. I think the Blade has a match next week against Pac. So I don't know. I don't know how long this is going to last, man. I'm all along for the ride.
Well, from the beginning, Kingston seemed to have some pretty dastardly plans when he was winking at the camera, getting everybody together. But we're starting to see, it seems like Kingston's trying to pry Penta away from Phoenix and maybe just be buddies together. I agree. I love that they're bringing Pac back to have this sort of like, hey, you took my buddies, now I'm coming for you. Yeah. I want to say, one, Kingston can make anything seem heated and interesting on the microphone. He's so good on that microphone. Pac just looked huge. He looks like he ate a whole lot of whey protein. I don't know, beef or whatever. Whatever they're eating out there. He is big. You and I were talking on text about how some guys, they may not look big in the ring, but you see him in person and they look like a house. I have a feeling that Pac, even though he's not the tallest guy in the world, is probably just the biggest dude you've ever seen in your life if you stand next to him.
Yeah, and before even Pac came out, I thought the paradigm shifting announcement would have been the unmasking of both Lucha Bros. It was heading that way. I was willing to accept that. Like, I wonder what Penta is going to look like with a mask in AEW. That's huge. Yeah. But I am not sure, though, if Pac was the answer. If he is, okay. Where does Pac go from here, Jack? I need to know. You have all the answers. Tell me.
Pac versus Kingston is going to slap. That's going to be a good match. Because I think Pac is athletic enough to make up for any athletic deficiencies that Kingston might have. And I think Kingston's tough enough and good enough on a microphone to make it just feel emotional and to get me to invest and to be really into that match. So I'm actually really excited about it. I think it's going to be a brutal one. I feel very bad for the Blade because I do not see the Blade walking out of that match with a dub. if they didn't get the win today, they're not getting the win next week. I think that's going to be interesting. I'm with you, man. They basically, the Lucha Brothers basically unmasked each other. This one got really violent between those two. At first, when I heard they were going to have another match, I was kind of thinking, this is kind of, we just saw this. Like, what are they going to do? But now it is interesting. Something that Kingston also said, and I don't want it to get lost. He said on commentary, it was his idea for Phoenix to step out of the Eliminator tournament because he thought Penta had a better chance of winning.
Yeah.
I think there's something that's going to happen there. Now that Penta and Phoenix are technically 1-1, I got to imagine they're going to have a third match. And I think it wouldn't shock me if it was some kind of mask versus match situation because they literally, I mean, you saw their faces. I mean, come on. Like, they basically unmasked.
I don't know what you're talking about. Rey Mysterio never unmasked. It's all about this is all the way off. It doesn't count. No, I mean, I think you're right. 1-1, especially with Rey winning the 1-on-1 match in the tournament and then Penta losing his next match, I thought that Penta would have lost tonight. He didn't. I would like to see one more. A Lucha de Espuestas match or a wagered match in AEW may look a little different. A lot of blood because a lot of blood was spilled today. I'm not sure how brutal can you make a weekly show, but AEW pushed that envelope as much as they can. But I do think it's if you're doing an end of the year winter finale show, that would be the perfect place to put it with the Moxie match.
Do you think that December 2nd would be the like the winter break show? Because that's a whole month before coming back. That seems like quite a while.
I think you'll have live or you'll have tape shows after that. After the second week, third week, you're heading into travel. You're heading into the holiday itself.
Yeah, I think they'd still go through like the 9th, though.
Why would you have the world title match week before that, then?
I mean, you're making sense. I get what you're saying, but as I'm looking at the dates, I feel like I would at least go to the 9th. Before calling it a month, you know?
Mm, yeah, possibly.
But possibly you know what?
Conjecture.
People who are way above my pay grade are making that decision, so I'm just going to leave it there. Also, there might be stuff with TNT. TNT might be like, hey, we're doing some holiday movies, so wrap it up. I mean, they need to. They can only show The Town and King Kong so many times. Am I right?
Oh, man, for real.
They got Tarzan and what's the other one with Denzel Washington that they loop through there?
The Equalizer.
The Equalizer. It's again, like those four movies on
repeat. Never seen the movie, but I know how it ends. I've seen that ending like a billion times.
Hey, we got London Has Fallen today. I know how that movies. Yeah. I know how that ends. He deletes an email. I don't know what the email is. But anyways.
That sounds so anticlimactic when you say it like that.
I am off the rails here. I got to get it back on. And I'm going to talk about the Inner Circle induction. I think this was the big thing everyone was sort of waiting for. He lost at Full Gear with a Eddie Guerrero move from MJF. Something I'm noticing with Jericho, Flobo, and tell me if I'm wrong here, he seems to be enjoying the fans a little bit more than he used to. He seems to be listening a little bit more than he used to, a little more smiles than he used to, and he even shouted out the city. Am I sensing a change in Jericho?
It's one of those very long games that's supposed to be clever, but we see right through it. Jericho's becoming a face, man. That's the headline. We can see it. I think even go back a month, maybe 2 months before that, he was coming out doing the, yeah, that is a dope theme song. Whatever. That's fine. And, of course, you know, once you fall into mimosa, you can't be a villain for too long. So I think he's going to be a face anytime soon.
Right. I think if Thanos fell into orange soda, he'd still be fine. A mimosa. Whatever.
Are you a mimosa guy?
I used to be. Not really. I mean,
Fair enough.
I am a drink of the location kind of guy. So if I'm on a beach, I'm going to have a beachy drink. If I'm at a sports bar, I'm going to have probably a beer. You know, I'm whatever the situation is, I kind of play it up. I don't drink anymore, but I used to.
That make it awkward? I am so sorry. I'm just curious if you're a mimosa guy.
No, I see that. Charlene's asking me if am I freezing up, Flobo? That's
yeah, yeah, you are. But it's cool. We're going. It's live TV.
Oh my gosh, so unprofessional.
Yes, because
Frontier. No, we've got a lot of things going on at the farmer compound today, so it's probably draining things.
Room, it's huge.
you got to see the whole thing. Usually, I have all the suits on like one of those things that you see at the cleaners that move around. No.
Dude, one of the cool things about AfterBuzz is that I had this rumor spread that you had like 37 suits. Yeah, I started believing it.
Yeah, I was asked about that so many times, by the way, and I'd say, "Yep,
not 36, 37."
37. When I keep it at that number. When I get a new one, I throw one out.
Right.
Even if it still looks good, I just put it in the trash. I just throw it away. Speaking of trash, though, poor Sammy Guevara. He didn't get the memo. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Even Ortiz doesn't seem to like the new additions to the Inner Circle. And, of course, we're seeing Wardlow and Jake Hager, they're giving each other death stares. This, I can't imagine the Inner Circle stays together as is. Do you foresee someone, a simple matter of one person getting thrown out and everyone's happy? Or do you see this team totally demolishing? Do you see just a new version of the Inner Circle? What are you kind of seeing happening here?
Well, if I knew as easy it was during an Inner Circle was to pretend to get hit, then I would have done it 2 years ago. I'm thinking schism. I'm thinking that it has to be a split down the middle. Maybe the names will change. Because I really felt the entities of the Proud and Powerful were so strong. The entity of Jake Hager is strong in this world that for them just to dissolve and go their own ways would probably be a missed opportunity. So if there is like a pro-MJF and an anti-MJF faction, I don't see why not. And if Jericho takes a guy with him, I'm assuming Sammy, then Sammy could turn face as well.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of those guys have sort of done all they can do in Inner Circle. At this point, I don't really know what's left for Proud and Powerful within Inner Circle. Don't really know what's left for Sammy Guevara within Inner Circle. Don't really know what's left for Jake Hager within Inner Circle. A lot of those guys, I think, would just be better off without the Inner Circle at this point. But that leads me to this, is if MJF is the one to finally destroy the Inner Circle, shouldn't we cheer him?
You want, I guess, but his face, I don't know. he doesn't make you want to cheer. Yeah, that's the one. I can't. No, I don't want to cheer that. I guess so. He's getting rid of the most dangerous threat, but he's doing it as being an Inner Circle within the Inner Circle. He's like the inoculation to a virus, man. And that's why it's just so weird to watch, but it's entertaining. I'm not sure what's going to happen next week. I hope they actually go to Vegas. COVID aside, I hope it's not like just a green screen picture photo op thing. Cause I know Jericho was all about that. But I do think that it's a long play for MJF to totally demolish it. But we're going to be on Team Jericho when it's all said and done.
Right. And poor Sammy is not going to get there as easily as the rest of the guys, 100%. But I agree. I mean, I get why they would do that green screen stuff in that case. But I think they need to do some more serious stuff. They've been silly for a bit too long now. I think I want to see some real seriousness happen. I like silliness. I just want to see some real friction start there. Right now it's been teased for a little bit too long. I want to see some blood. I want to see some guts. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's the blood and guts. Maybe it's the split of the inner circle, the two inner circles.
Yeah, man, we're going to make sure we have the most safety protocols and pathogens. No, it's just, look, man, this whole thing was just silly to begin with. And I don't mean to bury this. I think it's great. I think it works. I'm okay with more silliness because of the idea of MJF as a guy who was running for president vis-a-vis the title, decides to fire his staff. And wants to join a group. So here's a guy who wants to lead on his own, decides to throw it out the window to become a group, and he does it by beating the leader in a match. Not in a fight, a match, and a match he cheated in. So, like, it is already baked in with malarkey, baked in with shenanigans. I would hate for MJF to come out now and be like, oh, my plan is complete. It wouldn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I like where they're going with it. I think it's interesting. I want to see something happen. I'm ready for the next beat in the story, as we say. I want to talk about something. And Flobo, this is something that has been something I've talked about more than once. It's been something I've said more than once. And I want to talk about a couple of fellas that go by the name the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks have said for years that they are the best tag team in pro wrestling. And I have said, Flobo, multiple times that if you're not the champion, you don't get to say you're the best in the business.
Not true.
And at Full Gear, they had a tag team match that was absolutely stellar. It was great. Them and FTR, I believe, had match of the night. They did a ton of different tag team love letter type moves, shouting out tons of different tag teams over the history of pro wrestling. And Flobo, I sit here today, I look right into the camera, and I'm going to say it. The Young Bucks have the hardware, so the Young Bucks are the best tag team in wrestling today. You guys finally did it. The biggest moment of your career, Jack Farmer is telling you, you're the best.
So these guys put like 20 years in the game, and they were basically scrubs until this past weekend where Jack Farmer gave them the seal of approval. So now they're the top tag team of the... They should cancel us. They should just come here. Yeah. They should sign in and just be like, guys, you're canceled. Are you kidding me? Look, man, I'm not even the biggest Young Bucks fan, but I know these guys were elite for a while. They have the titles, the hardware, but the thing is that logic is always flawed, Jack, because the championship in wrestling is not an accolade. Storytelling device.
What? It's not an accolade. Mm-hmm. It's not an accolade. Mm-hmm. You tell me one person that's never won a title that we care about.
This guy. Flo Beto. No, what I'm saying is when the company trusts you, you become champion. I'm not saying there's an actual fight happening in the ring. Ric Flair was champion so many times because the company trusted him so many times. To my point, the Young Bucks were the best tag team for years, even before the hardware was even invented in AEW's case. You can't just write that all off because they won this weekend against an FTR.
I don't know what you're talking about with all this trust in the company stuff. I'm just saying that if you weren't put in a position to be the champion, maybe it's because the company doesn't trust you. Maybe it's because you're not the best in the world, but you certainly can't be one without the other. You got to be, if you're going to be a champion, or if you're going to be the best, you got to be a champion. That's why no one says Dan Marino's the best quarterback of all time, because he didn't win the championship. You've got to win titles. And now now that they have the titles.
Charlize, Scott Hall, Cesaro, Al Snow, people we care about.
Scott Hall and Cesaro both have had championships, multiple tag team championships, I add. But, I know the Young Bucks have had championships. But they never had the AEW World Championship, Tag Team Championships, which means they've never been the best, because the AEW World Tag Team Championships are the best in this, at least in this company. So you can't be in this company and say you're the best if you're not the ones with the titles. They have the titles now. They're the best in the world, at least until next week when Top Flight challenges them for the titles.
Top Flight! Even JR was like, who?
Top. Top Flight. Let me tell you something about Top Flight. If you're not watching AEW Dark, my friend, I watched AEW Dark. They were on there. They are really exciting. They're actually a fun team. They got a cool look. They are something I feel like I'm pretty good at is watching AEW Dark and seeing the talent that is going to make it to that next level and sort of predicting that, so to speak. I'm just going to say it. I called out Will Hobbs. He got signed to the main roster, we'll say, almost immediately after I called it out as he is the guy. I called out Max Caster. I called out the Acclaimed, as the tag team is now. I did that back in June. And now here they are.
You will stop about it.
I called Pentico. He's now on the team. I know what looks like a good team. Top Flight's going to get signed, buddy. Get ready. They're going to be on the radar. They're going to be that new hot up-and-coming tag team that lights up that division. I think they're great. I think they've got some room to grow, but I think they're going to be great. I think they're going to do good. And I think right now the Young Bucks are cocky because they just got a big win. But Top Flight, I think next week you've got to tune in to AEW Dynamite because I think they might just do what Private Party did a year ago.
I know Haywood is not my week. I make everyone stutter on their internet. I'm sorry. Look, man, I am not familiar that much with Top Flight, but I will say if JR, the commentator, was familiar about Top Flight, it made them look pretty poor. If I was Tony Khan, I would have myself a promo of them reacting to that because he inadvertently buried them. I know that's a word we don't use because we're not insiders, don't really know how things are, but Top Flight has an unbelievable opportunity against the best tag team in the world, according to Jack, officially for the next 4 or 5 days, the Young Bucks. They have to really get themselves endeared by the AEW faithful. Dark is a fantastic way to do it, but they got to do it in their expressions, in their moves, in their and their psychology match one on Dynamite.
You know, buried is a term I know very well. I've seen some casket matches and buried alive matches and things like that.
Boneyards,
But I think you very good point. I think I would love to see Top Flight react to hearing JR not know who they are and where that puts them in this situation, how that makes them feel, how that makes them want to approach this match. I think that's a good point, Flobo. I would love to see that. Plus, it gives us a chance to see a little bit of their personality besides just the cool moves they do and the cool hoodies that they wear on their way out to the ring. They wear cool hoodies on their way out to the ring. And I love a good hoodie. That's why I go to Flobito.threadless.com and get a Flobito Tonight shirt. I'm trying to shill your stuff.
They're so nice and comfortable, man. They really are.
No, they really are. I literally wear your Flobito Tonight sweatshirt almost every day. In fact, I uploaded a new WWE 2K version of me, and the second attire has me wearing a very poorly generic version of your sweatshirt.
That guy won the NWO spray painted WCW championship today, so correct.
Oh, perfect. That's the one I'd go for. I want to talk about Cody Rhodes. Lots of stuff to unpack with Cody Rhodes. First off, I want to talk about the fact that he is now Cody Rhodes. He got his name back. He got his full name back. And from what I understand, I'm not a reporter. I'm not a journalist. I just read things on Twitter and say it's real. I guess that's what most wrestling journalists do. But I am going to say I heard that he got it back in exchange for Bash at the Beach trademarks. And it's sort of a bit of a trade off in that case, which I think on one hand, I think is really cool. Like, wow, he kind of beat them at their own game and got his name back. On the other hand, I'm thinking, oh man, you had Bash the Beach. You gave it up for yourself. That's a little selfish. But then on the other side, I think I'm selfish. That's what I would do. So
yes, you are incredibly.
So how do you feel? Do you think it's a poo for Cody to get his last name back? Do you think it was worth the trade? Do you think it was worth everything they did?
Well, it's funny because I heard that he just released his claims on the match Beyond and Slamboree, but I feel like if he got Bash at the Beach given away too, then sure. Look, the thing is, we talk about these special episodes and themed episodes. the names of these things are not necessarily the most important thing. Like, you know, Blood and Guts, we're looking forward to because of what Blood and Guts was. So, yeah, it's almost like a cool idea, but it's never developed enough that it would seem like a giant loss. And you get your name back, a thing that runs in your family. I mean, you're a second generation. Your brothers are Rhodes. Why not? Why not?
I think it's cool. I think long term it'll be nice for them to have that. To plus, I feel like just call him Cody always felt a little weak, but to be able to call him Cody Rhodes, I think is a big deal. It's such a weird thing that you can have your name trademarked from you. But the big thing here, and the big story about Cody Rhodes here, is that Jade Cargill came out, and again, this was one of those moments. Maybe it'll make sense to me later. Maybe I'll enjoy it more later. I didn't know who Jade Cargill was coming out tonight. I thought she looked the part. She looked like she could be a great wrestler. She seemed like someone who could be a big player, but she was talking like I should know who she was. Did you know who she was coming out? Before we get into the announcement and everything, just this person comes out. What were you thinking? Did you know who she was? Should I have known who she was? And all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I'll admit to you, I heard a Jade Cargill was going to be used in AEW, like nebulously, but I did not know that who that was. And it was pretty unique because Cody was doing one of his promos, and maybe we get lulled into a false sense of security that when Cody's doing a promo, get your popcorn, he's giving us a promo. Yeah. So when someone interrupts him, you're kind of like, well, it's not a Four Horsemen, it's not Tully, yeah. It's not R, like who could it be? And she didn't even say her name up front. It was like she asked some questions. She got the microphone, said some things, and it was like, by the way, my name is Jade Cargill. And I was like, I was kind of lost. But I will say this. I do think mysteries in wrestling are cool. So even though I had no idea what was going on at that point, I was interested in what she had to say.
It was a little bit weird of a promo because she was implying that Cody Rhodes called himself a giant killer, and she knows a giant who doesn't like that. Then she talked about how this person has one name. Then she said Shaq, but it was almost kind of quietly. Like it didn't really, I feel like she didn't really drive it home. Like Shaquille O'Neal, I mean, you're saying the one name thing, but like basketball legend Shaq or something like that.
Yeah.
Which also made me think like, well, what does Shaq have to do with any of this? Again, this is something that I admit, in 2 weeks' time, I might look, wow, they set this up great. But up until before Brandi came out, I want to talk about Brandi Rhodes here because she did amazing. But before that happened, I was really just kind of left scratching my head wondering, what is this all about? Do you feel like you understood what was going on? Am I the minority here and not getting it? Or were you in a similar spot?
I feel like I was more like on your end, but I really felt like this was just nerves. This was nerves from someone like going out of AEW the first time, going with one of the better promos in the business and going, okay, you're going out there, you're telling me you're a giant killer, the giant's coming out there and his name is Shaq, go. And then going out there and be like, oh, you know, because again, yeah, you don't say your name like a paragraph in if no one knows who you are. You don't say Shaq on top of the ramp. Like, I really felt like it was nerves. If everything went exactly as it was according to written, then giant question marks. Because I'm thinking Shaq and the Fool, the General Car Insurance, Icy Hot Epson Printers, yeah, that guy, Papa John's, that guy is going to hit Cody. Cody will kill him. Go for the knees, you know? But
yeah,
maybe something else would happen.
I think the reason I bring all this up and the reason I keep driving it home, because I don't think she was bad on the microphone. She didn't sound terrible or anything. I think it was going back to what we started off with talking a bit about Kenny Omega. I keep thinking, is this something from like being the Elite that maybe I haven't seen, or is this something that I'm supposed to get? And it makes me think about the people who watch Kenny Omega talk about like, well, you know, I win tournaments all the time, and people going, do you? Is that something you do? I don't know. Or, you know, him talking about like the cleaners coming back and go, well, who's the cleaner? I think this was compounded as well by the fact that that Tony Khan tweet did come out saying we're going to change the landscape of wrestling, or what the power shift. I can't remember what the exact words were, but that means as she's teasing someone, your expectations continue to grow about, yeah, who's it going to be? What are they going to say? Especially as there's all these rumors about guys like Sting having all of his stuff taken off of the WWE shop recently. Like, oh, Sting would be big. Ryback talking about wanting to come to AEW. Okay, I mean, Ryback could be big. all these different things. Nick Aldis has more than one name, but even still, I guess the point is, yeah, you start going, man, there's all these people that it could be. And then, so it's kind of like, I don't know. I was just very confused by it. AEW is very good about sort of retroactively making these things great. So I think it'll be fine. But sure. Today, like a lot of things, I was definitely left wondering kind of like, huh, what was that all about?
Yeah.
Brandy, on the other hand, best promo of Brandy's career tonight. I think she came out with some fire. She felt emotional. She felt real. She felt believable. She didn't feel like someone wrote that for her. It felt like she came out guns a-blazing, and I loved it. And Flobo, I hope going forward, that is the attitude Brandy has. I thought she did amazing tonight. That is my A-plus of the night.
I will just say it was her best promo.
You know.
What do you mean, no?
Extrapolate.
What do you mean, man? Look, you know me. You know my ranking when it comes to wrestling. It's character, moves, story, right? The Brandy character did not make that promo. It was the best promo she ever did, but it sounded like a whole completely different person. There was nothing consistent for the past year and a half. The lady who made heels is doing this promo, calling another woman a heifer? Are you kidding me? I was like, this is a Brandy Rose I'm going to root for? But it was her strongest promo, so I'm torn. So, yes, that was the best promo she ever did.
I think the idea is that as a character, she lost her cool. She was angry. Someone was talking to her fella, and so she got upset. And I think this was her reacting in an angry way, which is why I liked it, is it felt like this didn't feel like the Brandy Rose that talks about heels. I feel like we feel differently about this, but for the same reasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I like that it was like, oh, she feels like it feels like she's really angry. It feels like she's going to really go off on this person, even though Jade looks like she could throw Brandy like a lawn dart. But it's to me, I liked it. I love Brandy Rose. We're torn here. Let us know in the chat who you guys thought. If you guys liked Brandy's promo, what you guys thought about it. I thought it was her best. You think it was her best. If this is a pivot for her as well, I think that's fine as well.
Maybe.
So it could be win-win. Speaking of people who are kind of pivoting, or at least I think need to pivot, I want to start and chat about the opening match here. We had Matt Sydal versus Brian Cage, and we were chatting offline about this. These are two guys that felt like they were brought in with big expectations, but it kind of seems like they've been on hold since coming in. I thought this was a great match. I thought Brian Cage looked strong. I thought Matt Sydal did some cool things. That reversal of the drill claw was great, and I thought that was a really good near fall. But Matt Sydal not really making as big of an impact as I think they wanted him to. Brian Cage feels like he's winning matches and he's looking dominant, but it feels like him and Will Hobbs have been going back and forth forever with no real movement. It feels like Starks and Darby Allin have been going back and forth with no real movement. It feels like these guys have been on hold for quite some time, and I feel like it's kind of do or die time for them.
Hit the nail on the head. Sydal is always a good hand. I won't say he's average. I think that's an insult to what he can do. But as far as I can tell, even before he was signed from AEW, he was a guy that would get some tickets, but he would never like steal the show. Much like how Hernandez was on Impact, right? Not saying they're the same level. I'm just saying the kind of role you have. Sydal had the unfortunate debut in AEW. Maybe that had something to do with it, but he hasn't been featured as much as I thought he would. And they have Brian Cage, who wants to prove he's championship material. Came in, got hot shot, and he's cooled down. You and I are in agreement with this. Of all the groups and factions that are growing in AEW, and of those that are changing and shifting and all that stuff, Team Taz is an absolute joke. Why would anyone want to be part of Team Taz? A fake title that's unsanctioned? Ricky Starks having fights with thumbtacks every week? If I'm Ricky Starks or Brian Cage, I'm looking for new management, but that hasn't happened yet, because we have other storylines. So now we're sitting in this holding pattern. You got to feed somebody to Brian Cage. He's a beast, right? You have Matt Sydal on contracts. You got to use him. And what we got was a match that was great, but the finish will always be unsatisfying.
I like Matt Sydal. I think I hold him in higher regard than you do. But I do think that the I agree with you on Team Taz. There's a few things that bothered me. I feel like I've been very negative this episode, which is very uncharacteristic of me. I tend to love everything. And again, maybe this will all play out differently. I feel like it feels like there's a lot of stuff we're waiting on to be explained a little bit better. But Taz did a few things today. Like he was on commentary, and they were saying, Taz, your guys aren't getting any shots. What's going on? And he's like, oh, well, maybe I need to get a new agent. And I was thinking, no, Taz, that's your job. You're the manager. You're supposed to give them the shot. Yeah. And then he was on commentary, and he was yelling at Ricky Starks, get involved, help Brian Cage. And I'm thinking, no, Taz, you're the manager. That's your.
That's the.
What are you doing? It's like that. I don't get that. This is, I don't really get your. And I feel like so often the manager is there to be a mouthpiece. I look at Ricky Starks and he's a great. He doesn't need a mouthpiece. He doesn't feel like him and Taz would hang out either. I mean, they're both cool guys, I guess, but one's this like tough dude from New York, and the other guy's this cool, stylish guy. I don't know. It just the team feels kind of patched together. It feels like whatever it is, even if the team is great, there's just something not clicking because they're not getting shots. They're not really in storylines. Every one of them is valuable, so I don't know why that's not working. Yeah. It's just a weird thing. Man.
It's a simple fix. And you know me, I don't like to talk about fixes. I like to sit back and watch the show as it is and have it watch all over me. But if I do fantasy booking, make a hard decision. And say either Taz is a guy on commentary who can scout talent and help them out backstage here and there, or say Taz, you're a manager. You can't have him play both sides because he's not physically able to get off commentary and run into the ring anymore. So have him at ringside. Have him be someone that cuts that promo. Have him be someone that gets involved in other people's segments and say, I am going to get my guys in this match. I'm going to make this a triple threat match or beat up guys. Like, we saw a bit of that today when Brian Cage came out and he was beating up Cody Rhodes for a bit. That should have happened for weeks. If you have a small team that's terrorizing and cross-sectioning all your storylines, you give them something to do different every week. You keep everyone valuable. But as long as Taz is going to slip back to commentary, it's going to be like, all right, he's going to do a promo. Thanks. It seems very
Common. Yeah, I love him. I think Taz is great in all of his roles, but I think you make a very good point. I think he's almost too good in his roles because it seems very weird that he will come out on, you know, and cut a promo and just rip everyone to shreds, and it sounds great. Then he gets on commentary and he's like, well, these guys are both very talented and, you know, have a lot of value. And you're like, wait, what? it's like he's too good at both. And so I think that, yeah, then doing something. I like what you said about, I think Cage maybe beating people up. I think they need to make a decision on what the FTW title is supposed to be, because I'm okay with it being a Renegade title. I'm okay with it being a third title. I'm okay with everything about it. But if you're never defending it, what's the point? It's just a belt buckle if you're not going to defend it. I would never say that to their face, by the way.
As an undisputed champion, I have to disagree. But hot takes all around, man.
No, it's, I mean, I just like, if it otherwise, what's the point if it's never defended? So I think he needs to defend it. Maybe defends it against Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes needs something to do. It looks like they're going to have a tag team match next week. A tag team match I swear we've seen already, but whatever. They'll tear it down next week. It'll be fun. We are low on time. I did want to talk really quick about Sean Spears and Scorpio Sky. They had a good match. And these are two guys that JR, I think, hit the nail on the head here. I've said that twice now. But they're underappreciated or overlooked. I think these are the two guys that when AEW started, they were the two guys that of all the people who were unknowns being signed or coming in from out of the country or being known from out of the country. These are the two guys that were what I would call network wrestling ready. If that makes sense. Like, they've been on the big networks. They look, well, Scorpio Sky, I don't know if he has been, but he looks the part.
Yeah, wrestling network, yeah.
Yeah, he wrestles the part. He looks the part. You could see him on any wrestling show on network TV and it would fit. If he was back in WCW looking the way he does now, it would have fit. If he was in WWE, he would be a fit. If he was on TNA, he'd be a fit. I thought they had a really good match. It's one that built up on Dark for a little bit. I was shocked Spears got the win here, though.
Yes, absolutely.
Real, real quick, what do you think is what do you think's going on with both of these guys?
Yeah, I think these are the two guys who are very similar trajectories here. We've all waxed poetic about how Ty Dillinger, the former Ty Dillinger, Sean Spears, mm-hmm. has struggled mightily. Maybe they may be that 10. That'd be the start mm-hmm. for him. Scorpio Sky, someone had to lose tonight, I guess, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of things are decisive. I was shocked with it. I think the next match with Scorpio has to be a win because he is in his prime. It won't last forever. You had him featured in a pay-per-view two pay-per-views ago, so you saw some value in him. Now you gotta make a decision. Is he worth keeping around? Is he worth as a singles guy? You want to put him back with a tag team? Do you want to cut him loose? You need to figure that out sooner or later, rather than later.
Who would be his program? His next? Who would you want to see him kind of facing off with over the next, let's say, until the new year, if you were trying to find a track to get him back on path?
Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks, just as kind of a rivalry, or would you have him be like kind of like save Darby kind of thing?
That's how you would do it if it's for the transition's sake. But I do think that those guys are strong enough, fast enough. They're both in that like diamond in the rough thing. They can steal the show, and it gives Taz a chance to focus on Cage and give him something to do. You know,
yeah.
I'll go with that one. That'd be my choice.
I think they would have such good promos, those two together. I think they could have some really fun, really cool promos. I love that. Of course, I do want to make sure before we go, it's almost been our hour, so we'll wrap it up quick. The Bunkhouse match, Butcher and Blade versus the Nightmare Family. This was a nice little wrap up of another AEW Dark story.
Wrap up? That was savage.
It was a brutal match. Is it weird for me? Like I gotta say, they did all sorts of stuff. They did all sorts of crazy stuff. But is it weird that the thing that seemed the craziest and the thing that seemed the worst to me was the hay and me thinking you're gonna get hay in your eyes the whole time?
Yeah, that is pretty. You probably have contacts, don't you?
Yeah,
I did. Say something like that.
Oh, I had contacts for years. I got LASIK a few years ago, but
this guy's bleeding out of his face. What the hay, bro?
God, because you can imagine you get it in your eyes, like, it's in my eyes.
Oh, yeah, it's annoying. It really is. As someone who got a bug in his eye this year and couldn't get it out because, like, I was afraid of COVID, I was like, you know, but anything in your eyes is the worst feeling in the world.
I was a little bit bummed Butcher and Blade didn't get the win. I feel like they need to get some momentum going. To me, if I look at them, and I've said it before, I'm kind of a broken record. They got the look. They wrestle well. They're the kind of guys that stand out. And I think when you're flipping through the channels, you're flipping back and forth. They're a team that makes you stop and go, I want to watch Butcher and the Blade. And they still, because of their look and because of the way they wrestle, I think they still have got some leverage in being a tough team. But, man, I don't remember the last time they won a legitimate match. Like not someone that was on AEW Dark, I should say.
No, you're right. I think it's very easy to say, hey, look, this team beats Butcher and the Blade today because visually they're the underdogs. Well, the underdogs week-to-week booking, and after a while, without a program, without a win, it looks bad for them. But things are looking up. I feel like, I don't think they're going to win next week against Pac, or Blade's not going to win against Pac very well. But this could be the start of something because the shift of the tag team division, it looks like the Young Bucks are really literally saying they want fresh talent and fresh matchups. They might be in line for this new reign of the Young Bucks, the greatest tag team on the planet.
And to wrap it all up, Red Velvet had a match with Tay Conti. I'm a big fan of Red Velvet. I think she's got a high ceiling there. Tay Conti, we were chatting about her. I thought you were a huge fan of hers. Are you?
I was a huge fan of her because she was on NXT and AfterBuzz has that super positive rule. So I was like, wow, she has potential.
Wow.
But I never got it.
Started this show saying you don't need to break the fourth wall, Flobo.
Here we go, what time. And you know what? You want to know another Flobo fact makes everything make sense? She eliminated Jessica May at the Mae Young Classic. I've had it out for her ever since.
Oh, my God. See, this is like I said. Sometimes something doesn't make sense, and then later it does. You're like, I didn't get it before.
My girl, Jessie, was going to win it all.
was kind of like, whoa, I don't know about all that.
Sorry, Tony Storm. Sorry, Io Shirai. But no, she was someone that I watched. I realized she was excess talent, so it was never bad or good. She was always infrequent. So when she got signed here, good for her, place to work, but I was never a huge fan, and I did not like the way how the match ended. But I will agree with you, Red Velvet could be what you build the division around. Red Velvet could be your future talent. Mm-hmm. And let's be fair, I hate to be that guy. You don't have many good talents of color at the top of AEW. Red Velvet could be your ticket.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's fantastic. I think she wrestles well. She's got a great look. And I agree with you. I think that is something you have to be conscious of, the people of color and where they stack up on your card. And I think she'd be great there. She should be getting titles.
She counts, obviously.
But no, you make a valid point. So I think that'd be a great way to. Beyond that, I don't want to say she should get that shot because of that. It's just a nice, like, kind of extra bonus. Like, oh, this is great. It's kind of like when something tastes good and is healthy. It's like, oh, that's right. That's great. It's two things.
I hear that'd be awesome.
That's about it for us. You've staged your hour, Flobo. Before we go, though, as always, let the world know where they can find you online.
Oh, yeah. And tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, Jack Farmer and I will combine like Voltron for Draped in Gold. DrapedInGold.com, our sister show. We're talking about the other half of the Wednesday Night War, NXT UK and NXT.
I am really excited about that. We're getting the NXT UK match, Dave Mastiff versus Trent Seven, that Heritage Cup tournament. My boy Mastiff is going to bomb his way through that tournament. I predicted it, and as you guys all know, I've never been wrong in a prediction. Not once, a single time in my life. So I'm excited to chat with you about that. I'm excited to check out NXT. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. As you know, I freak out about trying to watch two shows at once when I have an after show to do. But you can check me out on anytimeradio.com.
Lead of the week, bro.
This is a lead of the week.
The top five. The thing you do. The gimmick.
I know we ran out of time and I didn't really prepare one. But we will skip the lead of the week. I will give it to Brandi Rhodes for her promo. I will give it to Tay Conti for her win. I will give it to – who else did you not like today? I'm going to give it to – I'm going to give it to –
Will Hobbs for being late.
That was hilarious. Yeah. Where was he at? He waited until like the last second. That was like that. That was like
– oh, man. So fun.
It's all done and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm here. I got your back too. It's like, yeah. Dude, you waited until what if that's a tease? What if he's going to change sides?
Ooh, maybe.
And so he waited on purpose. I don't believe it, but that's just a fun idea. I'm going to give Elite of the Week to – let's give it to the Young Bucks because they are now the best tag team in the world.
Cool.
Anyways, check me out on anytimeradio.com every Monday. New episodes requested by you. This week was a sing-along song episode, so all songs you can sing along to, but that's it from us. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Elite of the Week, and we'll see you guys next time. Do your best and be yourself.